move to call to order the House Committee on Redistricting for April 1, 2011.
Call to order the Senate Committee on Redistricting for today, April 1st, 2011.
Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon now. It is April 1st. We want to thank Roy Community College and Southern Oregon University for hosting us today. We are the House and Senate Committees on Redistricting meeting jointly here in Medford, and we will also be taking testimony by video conference from Ashland, Klamath Falls, and Grants Pass. And before we get started, I'd like to ask members who are here to just briefly introduce themselves by name and where they're from. And why don't we start with Byer and Senator.
I'm Senator Lou Byer. I represent Central, Wayne, and Lynn counties.
I'm Senator Jason Agnesen from right here at
home. Senator Corey Brzozinski, District 4, with the parts of Wayne and Douglas counties.
I'm Senator Suzanne Bonamici. I represent District 17, which is in Washington and Multnomah counties.
Representative Paul Holbeek, House District 8, South Eugene, Benita, Lorraine, and Grove.
South Escobar, Representative District 6, and we are at home.
Good morning, Representative Kevin Cameron, House District 19, which is south and east rural Salem, Almsville, Turner. And besides being born on April 1st, I was also born on Easter Sunday and April Fool's Day. They fell on the same day in 1956. So I'm a fool and blessed at the same time.
I'm Tobias Reed, State Representative from District 27 in Beaverton.
Good morning. My name is Sean Lindsay, representing Hillsborough and North Plains, and thanks for the wonderful weather.
And I'm Chris Garrett, the co-chair of the House District Committee, and I am from Lake Oswego, also represent part of Southwest Portland. I think we're also joined today by three of our colleagues who can not be here in person. Senator Doug Whitsitt.
There he is.
Senator, welcome.
Thank you.
And Representatives Wally Hicks and Mike McClain, are you on?
Hi, this is Representative Hicks back in Salem.
Representative Hicks, glad to have you. Are you alone there?
I am at the moment. I think Representative Barker's birthday party is a big draw right now, so this is cake for me.
There's more than two fills in the legislature. More than one.
We have a sign-up sheet here, a number of people would like to testify. Let's also find out who we have in our video conference locations. We have volunteers assisting us in Ashland. That's Regina Ayers. Are you there?
Regina Ayers is not here. We're the two speakers, Jan Wood and Don Morris, but Regina is not here.
Okay, well, we have two of you there who will be testifying today?
Yes.
Okay, we'll get to you shortly. We have Natalie Johnston in Klamath Falls. Are you there, Natalie?
Yes, I am. But I'm not from Charlotte.
We're not closer,
so they can hear you.
How many folks are there to testify today?
400.
Who's
Someplace between 4 and 7.
Probably less than 10.
And finally, we have Jess McLeod in Grants Pass. Are you there?
Here in Grants Pass, well.
Hello, Grants Pass. How many folks are there to testify today?
We have three. I just took it off from you.
Okay.
We have three here.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll get started in a moment. Before we do, a few logistics. As you came in this morning, you were handed a handout with several questions and population numbers for the local legislative districts and maps of the local districts. Let me answer these questions directly. What we are hoping to learn from you today is your direct testimony on how you feel these lines should be drawn. We do this every 10 years following the release of new census data. In addition to county lines, city lines, school district lines, and geographic features, which we can all discern from a map, we also need to hear from you about what your communities of interest are. And that's a term that's not defined in the law, so it means what you tell us you think it means. So we'd love to hear that from you. If you brought written testimony with you, please hand it to the staff as you come forward. And if you're going to present us with written testimony, we ask that you summarize it for us rather than just reading it at the table. By giving it to the staff, it will be entered into the record. If you want to submit written testimony after this hearing, you're welcome to do so. The committee's email address is located at the top of the handout you received. And our plan today is to rotate through each of our hearing locations, starting here in Medford and hearing from small groups at a time. And based on the number of folks we have, we're going to ask you to limit your testimony to 3 minutes each. There's a device here which will be set to 3 minutes and will give you a warning light when you have 1 minute left. And that will be your cue to get ready to stop. So let's start with Medford. And I want to invite up to the table Dr. Mary Cohen, President of Southern Oregon University.
Good afternoon, Representative Garrett, members of the House and Senate redistricting committee. I'm Mary Cullinan, President of Southern Oregon University, and I'm here to welcome you to Medford and to our beautiful RCCSOU Higher Education Center. I really wanted to highlight what a special building this is that you're in. It is here because of the work of many people in Oregon, but particularly our Southern Oregon delegation, some of whom are here today. It was a very special building. I think it's the only building in the country that was built, funded, operated, lived in by both a community college and a public university. And so it's a very special place, and many, many people helped to make it happen. It's also a testimony to our commitment to sustainability. It was the first LEED Platinum building in Southern Oregon, and also the first LEED Platinum building in Southern Oregon University system. So this building also supports the strong commitment that all of us have in Southern Oregon to higher education. It opened in fall of 2008, and in fall 2010, the transfer numbers into Southern Oregon University from RCC went up in double digits, and this building is in great part responsible for that. So thank you. We really appreciate your being here in Southern Oregon. Appreciate your taking your work out throughout the state. This is also underscores SOU's commitment to civic engagement and participatory citizenship. So we really value what you all are doing, and thank you so much, and welcome.
Thank you for your hospitality, Dr. Coleman. Why don't we call our first panel forward, and I'm going to call Brad Hicks, Sean Watts, and R.J. Actually, we have just... Okay, and R.J. Roberts, please.
Testimony, and I know some folks have gone about a half hour, so I appreciate the 3 minute time limit. That's your birthday present, Representative Cameron.
Thank you very much.
Keeping it short. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and the committee. My name is Brad Hicks, and I serve as the President and CEO of the Chamber of Medford Jackson County. So I'm going to take full credit for this letter. You know, we dial that stuff in when we know we've got special guests coming. As a veteran legislative staff person for a few different members of the Oregon House and Senate and a member of Congress, I know firsthand that you guys really don't want somebody like me to tell you how to do your job. I don't try to do that all the time, every day, and it didn't go very well. But I guess I would rather today tell you that I would like you to do your job, and I don't mean that to challenge you. I just mean to say that my interpretation of the ORS is this, the spirit of that is that this work should be done in the legislative body. Of course, it involved the Secretary of State's office, but the last time in my recollection, or maybe even my lifetime, that I've seen that work done fairly and not in a partisan fashion was by my good friend, and he is a good friend of mine, Secretary of State Phil Kiesling. He's known for being a fair individual, and I think that was the last time it was done very fairly. I was very impressed and came away from our recent chamber day at the Capitol just a few weeks ago encouraged by the spirit of bipartisanship, and I mean that sincerely. I would like to see this committee and members of the legislature take advantage of that spirit and attempt at least to do this work within the body. So, as I mentioned, my remarks would be short, and they have been. So I just want to encourage you guys to take a stab at this before passing on to the Secretary of State. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll continue to the panel for questions. John.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, various co-chairs and vice chairs. It is nice to have you here in Medford. I've been very, very familiar with the legislative process, having worked in it for the last 20 years as well, and know that you have great challenge before you. Certainly, as Mr. Hicks said, the best possible outcome would be to have a legislative agreement. As you all know and have heard over and over and over again, I'm sure that hasn't happened since 1951.
John, this won't surprise you. We have to have your name in the record.
John Watts. Thank you very, very much for reminding me of that. I'm here today as the lobbyist for the Medford Jackson County Chamber of Commerce. My ears are red. In any event, it is a huge responsibility to overcome, even if the legislature agrees to a plan, which obviously has been unlikely in the past, subject to a governor's veto. Should the governor veto the plan, and then it goes to the Secretary of State. I'm sure that you've heard about things that have happened in the past and the partisan nature of some of those things. It would be my preference from a personal point of view that when we go through this process in Oregon, that some kind of an independent commission handle these kind of things, something that could guarantee what the statute says, that not favoring any political party. Is that ever going to be perfect? Will that ever happen for sure? How can we ever know? It's highly unlikely, but I think we would all agree it's even more unlikely to happen in a legislative plan. With an independent commission, and quite honestly, if the legislature were willing to take it on, if that's absolutely not a way to win all those votes and the legislature were to take it on, you've got 10 years to revise the ORSs to get the definitions of what a common interest might be. That's extremely hard. There's no question about that. So that's where I'm coming from today. That's the information I'd like to pass along, that it's a process that's almost impossible to overcome given the climate we have. I would think that an independent commission would be the best way to handle this process. Thank you very much.
Representative Garrett, members of the Joint Committee. My name is R.J. Roberts, and I'm an employee of Boise Cascade. I get to follow Brad and John here, and really the only other thing that I'd like to add is perhaps a repeat of what they both said, is just urge you to cast away your partisanship. Work towards something that can be signed by the governor and approved. And again, just repeating what John said, if that can't be done, I know in studying this issue a little bit, some other states have had some success with a joint committee to consider changing the statute. I'm revisiting. Move this process into the hands of an independent commission. When I first read the criteria here, John mentioned this, no district shall be drawn for the purposes of favoring any political party, incumbent legislator, or other person, or be drawn for the purpose of diluting the voter strength, voting strength of any language or ethnic minority group. That sounds pretty tough. I suppose the word gerrymandering would have never been invented. Has that been an easy task? So again, just to reiterate, I urge you to consider the option of going to the joint committee, or the independent commission, rather, to make this a viable outcome. Thank you.
Well, thank you all for being here. Any questions for the panel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is kind of a statement to the whole audience. On the redistricting website, there's this great book here, A Citizen's Guide to Redistricting, and I was thumbing through this on competition. And just real quickly, it says in 2006, 38% of the partisan state legislative races, and this is nationwide, were wholly uncontested. In other words, 38% of the time, either Democrat or Republican did not even bother running for a seat. In a federal race, 86% of the elections for the House of Representatives are won by more than double-digit margins. And so I guess my point is that I personally like to see hearty, robust competition. And my question to you and others that might follow is, I'm assuming there's great competition because there's good qualified candidates. I have more competition breeds good qualified candidates. But if you maybe talk to the competition here in this area, that would be helpful. And if you can't answer it, maybe other people might talk to that. This is just kind of a general question I'd be interested in throughout this hearing today.
Representative, are you asking about the competition between candidates from the two major parties?
Generally, how is are elections? Are we breeding good candidates, and are there good close party races? That would be my interest.
Well, if the good Senator Bates and gentlemen in the back, David Arter, were up here, they'd probably tell you, yeah, things get pretty active down here. I suppose it's not like, not unlike any other part of the state where the kind of races you just outlined happen, certainly. And oftentimes it's not because of a lack of a good candidate, because there's such a good candidate already there. So that happens certainly, but yeah, I see robust races.
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Lindsay, looking back at my past experience, I ran for the legislature four different times in eight different races, and I had competition in every single race. In fact, two of those opponents are with us here today, which I think highlights our willingness to be involved in the political process. I think here in Southern Oregon, we have people who are active, who are willing to do that, and I think that we do have a pretty good, healthy competition at least in this region.
Thank you. Are there more questions?
Well,
thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want to give a chance to introduce himself since we went through the table before we sat down.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Doug Whitzer. I represent District 28, which is all of Harlem, all of Lake, all of Crook, the eastern part of Deschutes County, and about 40% of Jackson County, primarily the Eagle Point Center, Eagle Point White City, Chief of the Day.
For our next panel, why don't we go to our Ashland group, and I think we have two people ready to testify. Is that correct?
Yes, we're here.
Okay, would you please introduce yourself, state your name for the record, and then give your testimony.
Okay. I'm Joan Waite, resident of Ashland. And I have greetings to the committee. Thank you for coming. I have canvassed for candidates throughout the Rogue Valley, and I see the Rogue Valley as two areas of shared interest. The north part of the valley is more industrial, and the southern part consists of small towns and agriculture, like orchards, vineyards, and small green growers. The city of Medford is a large urban area and sort of an entity unto itself. Now, keeping these shared interests contiguous and equalizing the numbers needed is going to be a very difficult realignment. And I suggest that House District 5 expand into kind of southern Medford, 50 and 52, which would gain the numbers I think they need. And also the Phoenix Talent School District, which includes Precinct 52, is already in House District 5, which makes some sense there. Senate District 3 might expand west into Precinct 115, the Applegate area, where there's still a lot of vineyards and growing things there. And if needed, it might expand into West Medford some, 62 or 64. But it would be best to keep Medford as one district. I just haven't figured out the numbers on that. And District 6 might have to move slightly north in order to keep the district whole and not little pieces here and there. Thank you.
Thank you. Don Morris, Ashland, Oregon. I think Jan has pretty well laid out some very good ideas and reasons for meeting the criteria, which of course it supports districts that are contiguous, approximate equal population, conforms to existing geographical political boundaries to the extent it's possible, and finally it avoids excessive division of communities of common interest. So rather than reiterate some of the suggestions that Jan has made, I would say that I would concur with her in the suggested movements or increasings of districts, expanding HD5 into precincts 1552. So with that, I would conclude my testimony. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you both very much. Do we have any questions for
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for your testimony. If I understood correctly, you said that House District 5 was a little bit more agriculture and Medford was more urban. Did I understand that correctly, or could you clarify
yes.
that, please?
Yes. House District 5 is Ashland, Talent, Phoenix, Jacksonville, and those are all small and more agricultural areas.
Okay, thank you. I guess my question is that I'm looking at the numbers here, and if I got them right, it looks like House District 5 needs to pick up some population, and House District 55 needs to lose some population, pretty close to the same amount. Would it make sense to move maybe the House District 5 boundary a little bit north, picking up some of that House District 55, more of the agricultural areas?
I don't see how you can do that. The terrain, I'm not sure how you can do that. That really doesn't make a lot of sense to us.
Thank you, John.
Okay, additional questions? See you then. Thank you both very much.
We will, let's move to our Klamath Falls location and have a couple folks from Klamath Falls weigh in. I don't have your names, but choose among yourselves your first couple witnesses and then identify your names for the record, please. So, hey, whatever you're ready.
I'm Michael Miles. I live at Falls. I'm here today to say that Chillicothe should be added to HD 56 due to communities of interest, including Native American and Latino. It also has strong economic interests with Klamath Falls. A lot of our economy goes off of each other. Also, to propose that the area around Crater Lake should be put into HD 56 because all of our water interests in Lower Klamath County is based off of Crater Lake. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Next witness.
Hey, my name is Tracy Liskey. I'm a farmer and rancher in Klamath Basin. Dealing with the water issues that have influenced our area for the last 20 years, representation is of great importance. And with the legislature being evenly split and the governor saying he will respect the legislative work, I think this is a great opportunity to produce a pretty fair and respected district lines. I guess I would ask you to make sure that you keep the rural areas whole and do not split them up and add them to large urban areas so that do not have the same interests and livelihood. Many of these communities have strong social and cultural ties, as the gentleman just mentioned before me, that are need to be kept together and kept that way. It's kind of important that we draw the lines of common interests and a way of life and not where the political party lines are. Suggesting you try to use geographical boundaries, not highways and roads, that keeps your way of life and your interests together. Many of the small towns in this area are very dependent on agriculture and forest industry and need the same kind of representation as those. Also important in the Klamath area is try to keep the irrigation districts whole, the watersheds, as this gentleman said before. It's kind of hard if you put areas together that have opposing goals and interests for a representative to do his job to represent his area. So be considerate when you're considering that. And again, as most of the people have talked before, I think you have a pretty good opportunity to do a very balanced situation with the current structure of your legislature being halfway balanced like it is. So I hope we can get it done, and thank you for your time.
All right, thank you both for testifying. Can we have, yes, Representative Esquivel.
Yes, for you in Klamath Falls, you were talking about Chillicothe. On House District 56, would you have more commonality with the Lakeview area than you would going north towards the Lapine area?
No. The for Native Americans, the big population of Native Americans are in Chillicothe and Klamath Falls. Right now, the current lines have them split. They don't have one voice. They have two voices. They should be kept together. Same thing with Latinos. Geography-wise, yes, they might have more interest with Lakeview. But when it comes to how Klamath County works, they have more interest with us than they would with Lakeview.
Also, on your transportation lines, they would connect better with Klamath and Lakeview in that area.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just following up on what Representative Esquivel asked, then would be, would Chillicothe have more commonality with Klamath Falls than Crook County or Deschutes County?
Definitely, yes. Mainly due to distance.
Yeah.
Thank you. any additional questions? Okay, thank you both very much. We're going to move to Grants Pass. And Representative Hicks.
No, we're not. You're going to come back?
Yeah, we'll be back. We're going to cycle through.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Representative Hicks, did you want to testify, or are you here to observe it?
Members of the committee, Mr. Chair, I am basically here to observe. I would chime in at this point. It looks like my House district is short about 625. And to cut right to the chase, what makes sense to me and what will perhaps come clear in terms of the communities of interest regarding Josephine County would be to move me a little bit north toward the into Wolf Creek. I think that would probably be a good fit for the current structure of the district, and with that we can talk about it some more offline up in Salem.
Okay, thank you very much. Why don't we go to our location in Grants Pass, and I think we have three people signed up, so why don't you all come forward and introduce yourselves to the record, please, and give your testimony.
We have eight people in the room now instead of three.
Eight? Oh, okay, how about we have the first three?
I'll wait until everybody else is done. Go ahead. Go ahead, Sandy.
Okay. My name is Sandy Castanelli. I'm one of the Josephine County Commissioners, and I talked with our clerk before this meeting, and he just wanted to reiterate that I know that the Clerks Association has submitted written testimony for redistricting, but he just wanted me to reiterate, please, when you make these drawings for the boundaries, please follow the streets, you know, keep the streets complete. Don't divide tax lots, please, and use logical reasoning when you're you know doing this. So that's all he really wanted me to reiterate.
Would you please give us your name one more time, Commissioner? I didn't quite catch it.
I'm Sandy Cassanelli, Cassanelli.
Thank you very much. Next.
My name is Eric Schaffsma. Live here in Josephine County. I just again want to reiterate what a few of the previous witnesses have stated, just trying to keep the boundaries of the districts contiguous with the interests of the people in those communities. For instance, in one community here in Josephine County in Merlin, the town unfortunately was split in half, but the population has a joint interest in its development on living in a rural recreational area. And so there's, looking at the map for the redistricting, it looks like we're going to need to pull a whole lot of votes out of the northern counties, moving up into, moving up all the way into Lane County, just to be able to equalize the population densities. But it's going to be quite a challenge, no doubt about that, on where to pull the populations from in order to equalize the districts. But this is certainly a great opportunity that you have as our legislators to be able to really meet the needs of the state and our communities and the interests of each district as you guys work on districting this. And I just want to say thank you very much for the hard work that I know you're going to be putting into this.
Okay, thank you. And Eric, I didn't quite get your last name, and could you spell it for us, please?
Sure, it's Schaffsmutz. Aviation Sierra Charlie Hotel Alpha Alpha Foxtrot Sierra Motel Alpha.
Yeah. that'd be one more test. I guess. Get enough people here. So they can understand that. All right. Okay. Thank you very much. And we have one more person on our first Grants Pass panel. Grants Pass panel, please.
My name's Bill Ertle. I live in the rural community of Williams here in the county. But my testimony would be that we need to look at examples like the Merlin city that split, and that happens to be an integral part of our county that would seem to fit with the Grants Pass popular area. That's where they probably do most of their shopping. Most of the commercial activities, and would make them part of our whole community down here instead of being split. Thank you.
Okay,
Thank you very much. Do you have any questions? So yes, Senator Atkinson, please.
Thank you very much. Before the last redistricting, the Applegate Valley was one House district and one Senate district. Then after the partisan gerrymandering 10 years ago, it got cut into thirds. Do you have an opinion about the reunifying of the Applegate Valley?
Is that I could
who's that for?
Members?
That's to any of the Grants Pass folks,
Mr. Co-Chair, this is Representative Hicks. Members, I could weigh in on that. I would actually think that's a favorable proposal. The Applegate Valley is in a macro sense, kind of a community of interest, I think, compared to Grants Pass, compared similarly to the Illinois Valley. Geography kind of reflects that there's different interests in the area. The Applegate Valley has a slightly different industry. There's kind of a heavier presence of wineries, for example. Agriculture is prominent. There's some of our slightly more affluent retirees, I think, tend toward the Applegate Valley. It makes sense from where I sit to combine that again.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Berkowitz, make sure that Representative Hicks is compared to one of the other panelists.
Yes, thank you very much, Representative Hicks speaking. Is there anybody else in the Grants Pass location who wanted to weigh in on that question?
Good afternoon. Herb Carter here from Josephine County. I have a couple of comments. Number one, I agree with Representative Hicks. My expansion a little bit further north into the Glendale area would be, I believe, more beneficial for our area here and for his position as representative. When it comes to the actual division of the properties, politically speaking or otherwise, each county is divided into precincts. The precincts being maintained by the county clerks. These are fairly representative and accurate of divisions of people by population. Josephine County having 42, other counties having fewer and having more. I think this is a good representation of a way to look towards where the population lies. You look at the 2010 census, and I've got them in front of me, and it's really very varied in as much as how it's laid out. What we need to do is be more cohesive and putting it together, I think, to come within that. I think they look at a 2% accuracy level or expansion level. And by using the county's records, the clerk's records, that is, it may help the committee to put out a more accurate table. If I made sense on that, I had it in my head.
All right, thank you. Do we have more questions for the first?
We have another testimony.
I have another comment about the Applegate area. There was a lot of confusion. Commissioner Castanelli. We did have problems at the last election because in the Applegate Valley there are some people received the Josephine County voters pamphlet, but their addresses were actually in Jackson County. So, you know, there's nothing our clerk could do. All they could do was say, hey, look, you know, you have to go to Jackson County in order to get a Jackson County voters pamphlet. So we have a real problem with the physical addresses in Applegate do not correspond to what the pamphlets that they were given for their appropriate district. So it is a real problem, and you know we really have to address that. You know, hopefully to solve that problem.
Okay. Why don't we move back to Medford? And we'll go to our next group of three, please. And that will be Al Densmore. Doug, last name starts with B. And Ron Holtus.
Okay. Mr. Chair, or various chairs, or both committees. Good afternoon, I'm Al Dinsmore. I'm a native Oregonian. I've been a resident of Medford for the past 43 years. I've operated my own insurance and financial planning practice for the last 33 years. I'm currently a member of the Medford City Council, but the views I'm going to share are pretty much my own. First, I'd like to thank you for coming and visiting our area and listening to citizens express their feelings and concerns about your work. These are not just lines on a map that you're drawing. They're organizational patterns for the relationships you build with the citizens you represent, and they need to work for you as well as the citizens. So they're not just lines. Interestingly enough, about 40 years ago, to this date, I was sitting in the same spot you were as a member of the House Elections and Reapportionment Committee after that particular census. That was interestingly enough also, we were the last batch of legislators who were elected countywide by position. So, and there was a Supreme Court case in shortly after the 70 election, Reynolds versus Sims, which created the impetus for single member districts of nearly equal sizes. So we got saddled with the notion of how are we going to cross these community lines of interest and create a plan that could get 31 votes in the House and 16 votes in the Senate, by the way. We didn't succeed, but we created a pattern by which Secretary of State Clay Myers was able to redistrict with the goal of meeting a lot of the same criteria you're trying to meet. But in the process, I guess I learned one thing. And the one thing I learned was it really is important where you start drawing the boundaries in the state. Because no matter how you try to work it, it's kind of like pushing on a balloon. By the time you get done with that process, it would be impossible to avoid conflicts with the criteria that you represent. And so I don't envy your work. I've been there. I would like to just inject just a note of history into this landscape that you look at in terms of redistricting. The reason Medford in that first plan created by Secretary of State Clay Myers, and this lasted for about 20 years, was cut up into three districts, which sort of made Jackson County look like, you know, three weird pieces of pie. And the city of Medford was a distinct minority population in each of those slices of pie. And for quite a long time, we felt that it really was not very helpful in terms of representing the financial center, the medical center, leading shopping area, and we've evolved into a retirement center, and we like to think we have arts and culture too. We're now,
it looks like we're, your 3 minutes bell is up, so I hate to cut you off, but to avoid getting in trouble later, I'm going to have to
pitch. Can I just, yeah. Then in terms of the work that you got before you, please leave Medford whole.
Gotcha.
And if you'd like a suggestion of how to maybe add some of the numbers, I would like to suggest that you go north and east in terms of the District 55. But just one caveat, Eagle Point, White City are very significant in terms of the metropolitan planning area, and so I would hope that those would stay in the same district.
All right, thank you very much. Thanks.
Welcome to Southern Oregon. I'm Doug Breidenthal, and committee members and Mr. Chair, it's a pleasure to have you here. Basically, I've served as a public administrator for the past 20 years in the fire service. I've also served currently as the chairman of the board for Madrone Trail Public Charter School and president of several large nonprofit organizations in the area. The population growth that we've experienced here recently with the 65,000 criteria that we're now utilizing, I have to give Jackson County planners credit, because if you really look at Jackson County, it's really balanced except for two specific areas, and that's to the southern regions of our borders. As we look at Senate District 3 and House District 5, we have some definite gains that we have to add to those areas. So as we look and we offer fixes, and that's what we're really here to do today.
I would offer to you today that you take House District 5 and that it really needs to demonstrate growth. I have about 2,500 people, and I believe that skirting the eastern borders of House District 6 and tying into current existing borders just south of the White City area would be excellent choice to move forward with. This can also be done to solve some of the Senate District 3 criteria and also work with the House District 55, which they need to lose. So we'll minimize the rippling effect that you'll see across the state, or as the good councilman next to me used the representation of the balloon. We do recommend that you take and sort of cut Shady Cove off at that point. At this point, we have several things to say that the numbers at this point would really minimize some of those effects. I'm sure the mayor next to me might have a difference of opinion, but that's why we're all here today. One of the things that I have experienced over my years here in Jackson County is I've been a business owner, I've been as a construction company, and working in the private and public sectors. That's given me a unique opportunity to understand how this affects the daily lives of our constituents and the people here in Jackson County, of your constituents and people here in Jackson County. I strongly urge you to set aside your political interests. Brad Hicks mentioned earlier, if you guys want to gerrymander this like your predecessors, we're going to be watching, and it's not good. Please take the time, work together, and come up with a good solution. This is important to all of us in Southern Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir?
Good afternoon, Representative Garrett, members of the committee. I am Ron Holkhusen, Mayor of Shady Cove. If you start from Interstate 5, get on Highway 62 and drive that direction, you'll stay in Southern Oregon, you'll stay in Jackson County, and then eventually in those areas you will go into the Upper Road area representing Eagle Point, Shady Cove, Prospect, and Butte Falls. That Upper Road area, which is represented by District 55, is a culturally, economically, and geographically concise area. It is absolutely imperative that that area not be split. That would be the height of futility to do that. The common interests, we have a common school district, School District 9. We have Fire District 4. And they cooperate with Fire District 3 in that area. In addition, everybody that is employed that isn't within our immediate area, we're primarily tourism based. Those people are going to be going to Medford, White City, and et cetera for jobs. So that Upper Road area is a very distinct area encompassed by Jackson County and Southern Oregon. So I just say this to the committee, that the best job that you can do for us, represent the people of our area, is to keep our area intact as a single unit. Now, I know you'll have a job and how you want to push the balloon, as it's been said, but absolutely do not split up our area, because it's a common area. We're a part of Southern Oregon. We're a part of Jackson County. Appreciate your time.
Thank all three of you. Questions for the panel? Co-Chair Lindsay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mayor, thanks for being here. Just so I understand, I looked on the map, it looks like Shady Cove is currently in House District 55.
That's correct.
And which 55 goes all the way up to Pineville, et cetera.
Right.
As I understand it, you're saying that it would be more appropriate to have Shady Cove part of the Rogue Valley instead of reaching up to where it currently is.
Yeah, you know, I think even in its current configuration where it encompasses this huge geographic area, at least that Upper Rogue area is still an area intact and has common representation. So the suggestion that you might take that and split Shady Cove from the rest of the Upper Rogue or Prospect and Shady Cove, move it somewhere else into another district, just does not make any sense to me at all. So I think it's my interest, I think, in representing the people. We talked about competition. politically. You know, I could care less about that. I want people that are going to represent us, that know our community, and I think the best way to know our community is to have it intact, understand that we're a primarily a recreation-based economy, a relatively low-income area. We've got a particular defined area, and it needs to be, we need a representation that considers that full area. And that, will, that way, the people of the area, the upper row, will be served properly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Mr. Densmore. You said that you believe that Eagle Point and White City should stay in the same district. Did you mean as each other or the same district? As
where, however it's drawn, I just would urge that they be in that district and ideally be part of the Rogue Valley, because I sit, for example, on the Rogue Valley Metropolitan Planning Organization, and as we try to work out a transportation future for the region, it would be really important, I think, for them to be a part of that discussion.
Thank you.
Sarah, thank you. Mayor, thank you for coming today. A quick question, and it's important as we're building a public record, but 10 years ago, Shady Cove used to be with the same district that was in Roseburg. Are you saying that, and now you're with Pineville, does it make more sense to have Shady Cove as part of the Rogue Valley or to be one of those places that ends up either in Crook County or in Douglas County?
Shady Cove and the other communities around us there should be part of the Rogue Valley.
Okay, see no more questions. Why don't we thank you for your testimony? Why don't we hop back to Klamath Falls. I think we have at least five people left to testify there. I don't have your names, so choose among yourselves. Then please state your name for the record.
Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Tom Malums. I'm a resident in the Klamath area. I live in a small community east of Klamath Falls. I want to reiterate the very definite connection we have with the east-west corridor from Wetland Lake County through Jackson County and Klamath County as well. We transport hay products from Lake Klamath and Jackson County.
Sir, would you pull the microphone a little closer to you, maybe?
We can
kind of
faint.
Wait. Oh, I guess we do have them here
on the front of the room. Okay, is that better? And I'm even going to be last up to restart your clock. So if you would start over, we're going to reset the clock in 3 minutes, and please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. My name is Tom Malums. I'm a farmer rancher in Klamath County. I live in a small community east of Klamath, Beatty. We transport hay products from Lake County, Klamath County, into the Rogue Valley on a continual basis every week, anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 tons per year. There's a very definite economic connection between the east and west there in this part of the state, which doesn't seem to be prevalent to the north and south corridor of 97. The communities are very like-minded, very like-minded industries, very definite connections there. The cattle and hay industry is very prevalent here on the east side, but the west side has use of that hay products as well for the dairies and the horse industries there. Years ago, I was in the grocery business, and we had stores in Lake Klamath and Jackson County as well. Nothing north and south, but all east and west connections there. Even our news media is the same way. We have Channel 2 and Channel 5. There are sister stations, Medford and Klamath Falls. School district-wise, the sports schedules and all that are done east and west as well. The north and south corridor, it seems like that is 97 is more of a corridor for things going from state to state and not from community to community. Here in our area, we have even the shuttle buses that run back and forth between Medford Klamath Falls on a daily basis, running pedals every day. They have people that go to school in Southern Oregon College, or vice versa. Some of the people in Medford actually come over here to go to Oregon Institute of Technology. So we have a huge amount of commonality from the east and west sides here, which we want to keep intact. That's pretty much what I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hello, my name is Carol Warren. My husband and I have lived in Oregon for 35 years, and I am retired now, living in Klamath County. ORS 188.010 directs, among other things, that redistricting not divide communities of common interest. I'm urging you to keep Jackson, Klamath, and Lake counties together as one district. These three counties have common borders and much interdependence upon each other: economic, education, medical services, recreation, including the airports. Ranchers and farmers are dependent upon each other's businesses. Highway 140 connects all three counties, with Klamath County in the middle. In the winter months, it is much safer traveling on Highway 140 going east and west to conduct business than it is going north and south on Highway 97. I'm urging you to keep Crater Lake in HD 56. And I feel it's only logical to keep Medford as a whole. I guarantee the citizens of Oregon want to see bipartisan cooperation in your endeavor with no gerrymandering. Please try to keep the lines logical. I thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you very much. We have one more on this panel. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm Dawn Brown, and I'm a resident of Klamath Falls. I have a past director of tourism for Klamath County from 2004 to 2009. And all three of our counties, Lake, Jackson, and Klamath, have a long history of working together to advertise to the traveling public what Southern Oregon is all about. We do. We have a lot of tourist dollars that come into all of our counties, and we work cooperatively to refer the traveling public to the other counties to keep them, to keep their economics in Southern Oregon. You know, we have 80 miles of common borders with Jackson County, and you know, you wouldn't guess it, but there's close to 900 miles of snowmobile trails that wrap the two counties together. They're, you know, our areas culturally and geographically said to be together. And I would just like to recommend, you have a difficult job, but I'd like to recommend that, you know, you might consider moving the northern border of 56 north to incorporate Chiloquin, because I think that's a good idea. Geographically, they're a lot closer to Klamath than they are to Deschutes County. And maybe the southern border, move that down of HD 55 to incorporate or accommodate some of HD 5's growth. You know, Oregon voters need real choices on election day, and the concept of communities of interest, common interest, should not be used as an excuse for gerrymandering, nor should a district be drawn for the purpose of favoring either political party, incumbent legislator, or another person, for the purpose of diluting the voting strength. But I know that you have the best in mind for Oregon and for these districts that we are discussing today. So I wish you the best of luck. We will be turning these in as written copy also, but I wish you the best of luck in this pretty tough, difficult endeavor to make everybody happy.
Thank you. I think we'll probably need it. Any questions for the panel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you from Cape Falls. Several of you have mentioned about bringing Chiloquin in. And I'm looking at the northern portion of House District 56 right now, and it's a pretty good little snake. Could you just tell me, what is that, a summit? Is that a river? Maybe one of you can, or anyone in this panel could identify what that current line is.
Part of the line is Highway 140, but it doesn't follow Highway 140 all the way through. There's just parts of it is Highway 140, and then parts of it are the summits of some of the ridges on the area as well. They don't show on the map that we have here exactly what it is.
So we couldn't figure it out. It wasn't a real good map.
And the follow-up would be, what is the terrain like between Chilliquin and Klamath Falls? Just the easy road?
Excuse me. Hi, my name is Jeff Cohen. I live at Chilliquin, retired police detective. Geographically, the area is flat.
And can we get your name again, please, sir? We didn't get your name. Your name for the record.
Dennis Jeffcoat, J-E-F-C-O-A-T. I am a resident of Chilliquin in the county area. The area between Chilliquin and Klamath Falls is flat terrain, at which the access is north and south on Highway 97. And may I go ahead and do a short presentation or use the 3 minutes?
If you'd like to use your 3 minutes, you can use them any way you want.
Okay. The reason I am here today is I wanted to discuss with you that we have a problem in Chilliquin because you've got District 55 and 56 practically meets at different points in the city. When I go out and talk with my neighbors, they are very confused over, does Mr. Girard represent them, or does Mr. McLean represent them? This is a big issue in Chilliquin because of the way you have run the boundaries through the community. Therefore, what I'm suggesting to you is incorporate Chilliquin and the area just north of us up to Crater Lake into Klamath Falls, because everyone in Chilliquin goes south to shop. And then from Klamath Falls, if you have other necessities, they go out to Lake County or they go over to Jackson County. Practically no one, and I say this because I talk to my neighbors all the time over 7 years, goes north to Bend to do business. So culturally, economically, and physically, because of snow conditions, terrain, and everything, the people in Chilliquin go south, as well as the people in the Crater Lake area go south into Klamath Falls. And then again, this makes this problem with people not knowing who the representative is because the way the boundaries are set up. Part of Chilliquin is one district, part of it is in the other district, and I personally like to see it all in one district associated with Klamath Falls, because it would be very natural geographically to do it.
Okay, thank you, sir. And Senator Whitson had wanted to be heard on a point that nobody got.
So, this is Jeff Whitson. I'm just going to ask the question on the transportation part.
Okay, thank you. And so, are there further questions for this Klamath Falls panel before we move on to Grants Pass? Seeing none, why don't we move over to Grants Pass? I think we have at least 5 people left to testify. Why don't we have our next group of 3, please?
Who next? Who you go ahead? I'll wait until the end. Anybody else? You want to tell them what?
Go ahead, Bill.
I'll give a brief statement. My name is Bill Shaneyfelt. It's hard to spell.
If you'd like me to spell it, I will.
Why don't you go ahead and spell it, sir? Thank you.
Shaneyfelt. And I've lived in the same residence for over 40 years, almost as long as Mr. Dinsmore. And some point in time, about 20 years ago, my neighborhood got cut off, and suddenly I found myself represented by a guy in Eugene who has nothing in common with me, miles away. And then a few people started to call our area Merlin, although it's really Colonial Valley. But Colonial Valley and Merlin are all north of Grants Pass, but they are completely connected at the umbilical cord with Grants Pass. And they should be moved back in there. I've been upset about that for 20 years, and I'm hot about it now. So I'm going to relay that to
people. Calm down.
Probably even matter in this one here.
Duly noted, sir. Is there more you wanted to say?
No, I'm through.
Okay. Thank
you. Somewhere else.
Why don't we have our next two in Grants Pass go ahead and speak, please?
My name is Gerard Fitzgerald, FITZGERALD. I would like to reiterate what Mr. Schoenfeld said. The umbilical cord is the I-5 corridor. Economically, as well as real estate, as to all other matters are controlled the same from basically Wolf Creek down into Grants Pass. Everyone comes that direction. That's where everything is done. Medical-wise, the same thing into Three Rivers Community Hospital. I then own a real estate firm, and I do development as well as others for my clients, and it just is the way that geographically is set. So I would like to make sure that you people keep common sense in mind when you make these redistricting. I know it's going to be difficult, but I would like you to let common sense prevail rather than anything else.
I agree. All right, we have one more on the panel, please.
So there.
Okay. Do you already speak?
Yeah.
All right, my name is Jim Diefendorfer. I live in Cave Junction, and I'm looking at the map that you have here, and it's really hard to make a lot of recommendations because I really see that you have to take a lot of population from the north. So until we see what you're going to get it from, it's hard to make really good recommendations for what we can do with the south. I do think that Grants Pass is divided congressionally and should be all in one district. But I don't know enough information to say anything on the rest of it without knowing what the population is north of us and how we can actually get population to come into these other counties. If I can have a link, if somebody can tell me what a link is, I can look at this. I will submit something in writing in the next couple of days.
All right, thank you, sir. Would you mind spelling your last name for the record, please?
D-I-E-F-E-N. D-E-R-F-E-R.
I'm going to read the link into the record for you, and we'll do it again at the end of the hearing today. But for anybody who wants information about this process or wants to submit information, our website is www.leg.state.or.us/redistricting. So are there questions for this panel before we move on? I see none. Thank you very much. Does anybody else come to Ashland, or is it still just the two of you?
Just the two of us today.
Okay. Thank you. Then why don't we come back to Medford, where we have several folks left. Jack Adkins, Ken Fawcett, and John Schrenning, I believe. Yourself and
give
your testimony.
I'm Jack Adkins. I'm a current resident of Medford. I have my thing. I'm retired Army, I basically was raised in Klamath Falls. I've lived in the basin 27 and a half years. I've been in the Rogue Valley just shy of 24 years. Came back into Oregon in 1976, working for the sheriff, and then went active guard reserve with the National Guard, finished off my 20 active between two components. I basically am very familiar with Klamath County, Jackson County, Josephine County, and Douglas County. When I retired in 1990, I got self-employed in marketing, did health insurance for small businesses for a few years, and got involved with Society of Trading Associates, and I was working with approximately 600 businesses in that region. So, like I said, I know the area fairly well. What we were looking at is ORS 188010 basically requires that each district, as nearly as practical, shall be contiguous, equal population, utilize existing geographic or political boundaries, not divide communities of common interest, and be connected by transportation links. I would like to ditto Al Densmore in that I have lived in Ashland physically for just shy of 6 years, and I've been in Medford actually since April 1st, 1993. We bought a house on April Fool's Day, kind of a neat thing to do. But I agree that Medford, House District 6, should stay as is. Period. This is a community of common interest. The concern I've got is with House District 5, and the recommendation is very simple. Personally, I'd like to see Talent and Phoenix stay in it, come up to the border of Medford, and then basically the easiest way would be skirt the eastern boundary of Medford and come back to Highway 62 just south of White City. It would take care of both problems. It would be a very simple solution, and would meet all the criteria of 188010. The other thing I'd like to make a comment, it's not on my notes, but I agree with several of the people here. There is a chance for a bipartisan solution to the redistricting. I'm really hoping that this committee does this. It's just an opportunity. I feel it would really help restore faith in the system where people are sitting there, you know, complying with it. That's my testimony.
Well, thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Ken Fawcett. I'm a 2.5-year resident of Ashland, a relative newbie. From where I sit anyway, I'm really pleased that we have a potential of consensus, and echoing what Jack said, that giving us a reason to believe in the government and what organizations like this can do would go a long way in keeping us happy campers as voters. I think there's really a couple of communities of interest. One is Medford, and it looks to me like keeping Medford as it is, it works pretty well. There's a few hundred that we need to add there. The other community of interest, really, while some say that Ashland is its own community of interest, I think that Ashland and Talent and Phoenix and the small communities, and as was mentioned earlier, the rural nature of a lot of the District 5 lends itself towards what Jack just said, and that would be to skirt along the east side of Medford going north, and whether or not that can go much further than, let's say, White City, I'm not sure, just due to the need for population or the limits on the amount of population we can pull in. But certainly, again, as was mentioned earlier, there's a pretty good match between what's needed for District 5 to pull in, let's say, 25 to 2,600, and the need for District 55 to shed itself of about the same number. One last thing about that particular area east of Medford is that I think, as actually was said about all the way up the Rogue Valley, but that area tends to look to the Rogue Valley and Medford and down in this area for their well-being, their services, their schools, and so forth. So I think if I were sitting in their shoes, I would be looking to be part of a District 5 rather than a District 55. No offense to District 55, but that feels right to me. The last thing I would say is that, to echo what was mentioned earlier, is if it turns out that a bipartisan non-elected commission could take this on 10 years from now, I think that would also serve all of you well, as well as the citizens of Oregon. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is John Schleining, and I've lived here since 1974 in the Rogue Valley. I live in Ashland and work in Medford. I'm an endangered species, being Oregonian raised, Airborne raised here, and went to the University of Oregon. For years, I worked in the mental health field. I worked at the juvenile court, the mental health clinics. I was a vice principal of Phoenix High School. I taught at the college. And then our family went into business. And we've, I also should say that I was the head of the Ashland School Board Budget Committee for many years. And I'm currently the head of the West Howard Memorial Sports Park, and we're trying to build a bunch of new soccer and baseball fields here in the Valley. Subsequently, our family has gone into a number of businesses, and we've developed many of the communities in the Valley. We've built hundreds of houses and shopping centers and assisted living centers, and we've built a lot of the houses in East Medford and also out past that, and I know many, many of the people that live there that we built houses for. And I have a map that I have distributed to you, which I have a very specific suggestion, which at least in our little part of Southern Oregon makes sense to me, and I've thought about it quite a bit. And that is just stay to the east of the city of Medford. The city of Medford needs to stay intact. It's in and of itself. You shouldn't divide that. And I know the Phoenix School District goes into Medford in some ways, and that's not good either. I've built houses where on one side of the street people are in the Phoenix School District, and on the other side they're in the Medford School District. The ORS 188010 directs a lot of different things, but to keep the communities, not to divide them up and keep them with common interests. Medford is one area here that is itself. And then you have Ashland, Talent, Phoenix, and White City that sort of, they're small communities, they're intense. Like Ashland has more houses per acre than anybody. But yet you have big farms, you have big, you know, 10, 20, 50 acre, 100 acre parcels. You have lots of vineyards and, you know, pears and that sort of thing. So what I'm proposing, the people that live in this area that I'm proposing, there are some places that have houses, but most of it is very similar to what you have throughout the county in District 5 now. And all of those people that live in themselves, you know, part of our District 5. I mean, everything about them. And I have a few things that I just wanted to mention.
You do it very quickly, thank you.
Yes, I mean all the land use planning is part of that. The sewer system is part of that. The transportation plan, everything that you would think of that would bind those people in, you would not find any difference between what they would think and feel than what you already have. So combining those two, they are exactly the same. I mean, it's common. I mean, it's the logical solution. If you go to the east, you have they need more people over there. You go to the west, you can't do that. And this is the least amount of land that you have to incorporate and yet meet all your numbers, and you definitely have the common. Everything's just exactly the way I understand of what you're looking for. Last thing, I know that the whole state of Oregon, I mean, I looked at it and I think this is an overwhelming job, and I really hope that you can do it in a bipartisan way. But I mean, you've got your work cut out for you. And I just wish you the very best in the way. I mean, I wouldn't want to try to figure it all out. Here, I know what I'm telling you. I think it's the common sense solution. But good luck on your whole.
Thank you.
Do
we have
any
questions for Jeff Satterax?
Thank you very much. Thank all of you. I'll just point out a historical record. The suggestions that Jack made, in fact, the whole panel, was exactly how Southern Oregon was before the partisan redistricting 10 years ago.
That's right.
And if you look at his map with the shaded area, that's what that house district used to be like, so in the communities of interest. What you don't see on the map is my drawn-in portion, which is a major mountain range that divides the Rogue Valley from the Applegate Valley. The last, where you see Jackson and you see Five and House in the map that was handed out, this is all in its own valley. It has the school districts there. The children in those school districts either go to Three Rivers and Grants Pass or Josephine County or the school district for high school. But the school districts elementary school are all part of one, and the last redistricting cut it at the third. So just to make the point between commerce, transportation, what Mr. Sarning was talking about, to make that district go north to how it was actually fixed the problem in dividing the Applegate from Freeze back down to one, which really is one community.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This isn't more of a statement and hoping for some comments more in the future. And we've really been focusing on House districts, Senate districts, but we're also charged with doing the congressional districts. And you've seen we put this map up here. It makes sense to me how it's currently done. It's pretty much along the Cascade Range. And if someone at some point could comment, now when we get to Medford, Grants Pass, there seems to be a little cutout there. I don't know if that continues the Cascade Range or not, but sometime I'd like to hear some comments on that in congressional districts. To the right is Congressional District 2, which is Congressman Baldwin, and to the left is Congressional District 4, which is Congressman DeFazio. I'd be interested in hearing testimony on that.
Mr. Chair, Lindsay, I think the gentleman that was on the second panel that spoke first about the guy in Eugene, he was talking about the congressional district.
That's what he actually
did
offering.
But
he was talking about the congressional.
Yeah.
Did you three have any comments on that? Particular comment from
I just think that in Southern Oregon, you know, we have more common interests with Southern Oregon and Eastern Oregon than we would with the Valley or Eugene and so forth. So I think the way it is probably the way you have the most common interests.
And I'd also have to agree with John, having lived in the different areas, it's just makes sense.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And were there more questions for this group?
Thank you. I was wondering, you sort of mentioned, I've heard some, I think at the very beginning we heard some testimony about House District 5 staying in the Applegate Valley, and many have suggested to go up the east side of Medford now. I'm kind of curious about the school districts and how those, I guess, overlay with those communities. So I'm understanding it, you're talking about going up east side towards Eagle Point, for House District 5, is that still Medford School
yes.
District?
The Phoenix School District just goes, like out, you go out North Phoenix Road and it goes on Wanapero, just for a little ways right in there. Phoenix School District includes the manor. But everything to the east and to the north of there is all the Medford School District.
So with the Ashland School District, the Phoenix Talent School District, and the Applegate Valley is all intact in those school districts?
No. There's the Ashland School District and the Phoenix Talent is a combination. Then you have Medford School District, and I'm not positive about the Applegate Valley School District.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I married the prettiest girl from Rouge, Oregon. And my wife, and it's still the case today, she went to Rouge Elementary School, and then McLaughlin Junior High and South Medford High School, which is all Rouge. That is part of the Applegate. It's part of the elementary schools are tied actually across the county line. The county splits it, but that's a geography, certainly not a community of interest between Rouge and Applegate, Oregon. But if you're in Rouge, you'll go to the South Medford School District, which is not part of Ashland at all. And if you're on the Applegate side, you go to Hidden Valley, which is in Josephine County. The community of interest is the Applegate United, but to go from the Applegate Elementary School, for instance, to Ashland is, in addition to being about a 40-minute drive, is not connected by way of either commerce or school district.
Thank you. I won't question your wife's choices, but.
All right. Thank you three very much.
Thank you.
Why don't we move back to Klamath Falls? How many folks do we have left in Klamath Falls?
Four.
Five.
Okay. Why don't we take three of you? And any three, whatever the first three were, and give your names for the record, please.
My name is Forrest Sutherland.
and the economic ties that these adjoining counties are clearly seen by the amount of travel to the metro area for shopping, restaurants, theater, schooling, and the airport, because Klamath Falls Airport only serves Portland, Oregon. Also, Klamath County has the highest concentration of veterans in Oregon who travel the metro area to visit the Southern Oregon White City VA Rehabilitation Center and clinics beyond the facilities in Roseburg. Veterans have to travel 70 miles of high-quality highway, 140 west, only small amounts of mountainous terrain, which is much safer to travel Highway 90 than Highway 97 in the winter months. Please keep Medford as one district.
All right, thank you, sir.
My name is Dean Pugh, Klamath Falls. Klamath County, Jackson County, and Lake County are, in a sense, one family. People from Klamath County shop Jackson County, shopping centers, restaurants, so forth. There's a wide variety of products established to choose from in the Medford area. Because of the recent closures of some machine shops, welding shops, hydraulic shops in Medford, much of that traffic is brought to Klamath Falls. The industry, agricultural equipment repair. Also, Lake County people come to Klamath Falls, get equipment repaired. There's a good highway, 140 to travel and trips from to and fro. It's easier for people of these three counties to be combined. We get a lot of traffic from the Lakeview area as well. Klamath, Jackson, and Lake counties share a lot of the same industry, agriculture, and the lifestyle. This makes the job for the senior, for the senator, easier to work with the three counties together in Salem. Changing the districts will mean more travel expense, time spent for the senator. This will hinder the work that that can be done for us in Salem. We hope that Medford will be kept in one area, in the same area as Klamath and Lake County. I have a business in Klamath Falls. I've been in business for better than 50 years, and I've seen some changes, some of them good and some of them not so good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pugh. And who's the third witness, please?
My name is Roland Burkhead, and I'm retired, and I just moved up to Klamath last year from California. So I guess I'm an outsider viewing all this, but I'm just looking at the map here that was given to us earlier, and it seems like Klamath Falls in the House District number 56 is short of some 4,500 people. And so it just, maybe it's simplistic, but if we wanted to expand that to incorporate more geography and hence more population, go north and add Chiloquin to our House District, and then if any more people are needed to fill that gap, move west on the I-140 corridor and encompass more people towards Ashland. So that's just how I see it as an outsider looking towards this.
All right, thank you, panel. Could you give us your name again and spell it for the record, please?
Roland Burkhead. Yeah, Burkhead, B-U-R-K-H-E-A-D.
All right, thank you very much. Why don't we move on to back to Grants Pass? How many people do we have left in Grants Pass?
That way, it looks like somebody's there and you're ready to go.
Go ahead.
We have one.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, my name is Myrna Shaneyfeld, and it's S as in Sam, H A N as in Nelly, E Y, F as in Frank, E L T as in Tom. I have been here for 40 years, and I would like to know about the House District 6. doesn't have much explanation about that, except that it's just a tiny area, and I just would like to have you explain that to me.
Perhaps the representative from District 6 would like to comment on that.
Actually, Medford has, to answer your question, that is just the core of Medford. I believe I have 13 constituents outside the city limits of Medford. House District 6 consists from East Medford clearing to West Medford. Part of Northwestern Medford is under Representative Richardson's House District. And then the southern part, parts of southern Medford, is in Representative Buckley's part. Medford is too big to have just one representative. It has to be split because of its population. I believe we have 3 representatives and 2 senators in the city itself.
So, Marta, did you have additional testimony to provide, or did we answer your question?
From what we were just looking at the map there, and yet it's still under the amount that, I mean, it's still less than, what is it, they have minus 355. I just couldn't figure out how they would have their own house district for that.
We have the population in that small area enough to make up a house district. We had, before, 10 years ago, when we redistricted, we had 57,000 some odd people. Now we have to go up to 62,000, 63,000, give or take a few. And Medford has grown kind of in conjunction with the population of the state of Oregon. It's kind of gone on the same level, and that means we're only 355 short of the allocation of the population.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I believe Representative Esquivel might have just clarified this, but just to make it clear, the map that we've handed out is not a proposal of how we're going to change things. It's the current numbers and how they will need to change as we do our work this session. So just to clarify, this is not a proposal, this is the current situation that we're dealing with, how the numbers need to change.
Thank you. Good clarification, thank you. All right, any questions from the panel? All right, thank you very much. Why don't we jump back to Medford. And let's see. Our next group of 3 will be Rich Rohde, Lynn Howe, and Jim Manenbach.
My name is Rich Rohde. I'm a 25-year-old resident of Rogue Valley. I'm the regional organizer for Oregon Action, so some of my comments today reflect our experience in Rogue Valley. Oregon Action is a grassroots, nonpartisan community organization, and our membership and the people we represent are largely low-income and people of color. We've spent a lot of years in Medford and Rogue Valley doing nonpartisan voter registration, so we have a strong interest in voter participation and encouraging low-income people to participate in the political process. And we just have a couple of comments that we'd like to make about the work that you're doing. One is echoing what almost everyone is saying, is that keeping House District 6 as a city of Medford makes a lot of sense. And we did work in Medford before that, and now since it's been a city, and it really works to provide representation for low-income people and Latinos in our community. We would just ask that you also think to act consistently across the state with the notion of keeping cities as one district where that's appropriate, and I guess Bend would be one of the areas that would also fit that category. The second thing that we wanted to highlight is that in the principles that you all work with, obviously not diluting racial and ethnic voting is a critical goal, and we hope that in all the work that you do that you're looking at those goals as well as the issues of city boundaries and common interests. And just in relation to Medford, we would say that there is a large and growing population of Latinos in West Medford, but also in White City. I know that Medford doesn't get to take in very many more people, but there is a logical way, I mean, there is an advantageous way that you could begin to add some of that voting, keeping the Latino population whole in Southern Oregon, perhaps. So those are the points that we wanted to make, and just encourage you that as you look at all the voting districts, that you really look towards the ratio, not diluting racial voting patterns and opportunities.
Thank you, Mr.
Roy. I get to go next because I'm also going to speak about Medford, and he's offered to give up his time for a second. Thank you all for being here. Really appreciate it. And I guess I wanted to be the first person to tell you that you should keep Medford whole.
I need to start with your name, actually.
I'm Lynn Howe,
okay.
Medford resident. So I guess I'm not the first person to tell you that, but I do want to tell you that really strongly and with a great deal of emphasis. And maybe I'm going to give you a few details for the ones of you who don't live here, so you just make sure that you get the common interest theme that we're talking about. And what is it? Really is the ideal population size at this point for what we're talking about. There has been a single representative for a number of years, and that people seem to feel here that best represents the needs and desires of people, and making it clear who the representative is and who really knows the entirety of interests that are going on in our community. And as people have noted, it is the shopping hub for the Rogue Valley. We are the shopping hub. We are the center. If you look in the Costco parking lot, you're going to see license plates from 9 counties or more around here coming. And the same for healthcare. So I'm going to be pointing out some of the areas of common interest that are really strong in our community. So healthcare serves 9 counties and brings people over here to 2 hospitals, hundreds of doctor's offices, labs, and surgery centers. And similarly for retirees, this is a hub for retirement with institutions from the very smallest foster homes to the largest, maybe in the state, retirement centers of all kinds. So we have a unique identity in the shopping areas, in the retail services areas, and healthcare. No one's even hardly mentioned the airport and what the transportation connections are here up along I-5 and the airport. And these are strong areas of distinct characteristics of this community. Also very business-oriented, diversifying economy, the head of large business organizations, the head of large employers. We have some of the biggest business interests in this area, and so this is the place where people come for jobs as well. We're in the downtown through organizations like this, the RCC SOE Center, which is bringing students from many districts around the county. So it's an education hub, which is changing our community as well. So I just wanted to tell you that we have many numerous neighborhoods. It's an urban area. People live close to their neighbors. They understand the long historical connection. We have a revitalizing downtown. There's plenty of culture with the theaters, with the art galleries, with the local artists. And this is a wrap-up of a community that needs to have one representative that can see the breadth and diversity here and speak for everyone. So I want to thank you for coming again, and just strongly now that you know everything you need to know about Medford, you understand why we consider it a single community of interest.
Thank you very much.
My name is Jim Monenbach, and I'm a school board member for Jackson County School District Number 9, and talking about House District 55. There are two redistricting boundary concerns from Jackson County School District 9. We are currently a part of a legislative district that includes a section of Central Oregon that stretches as far north as Prineville. We have few common interests geographically, economically, political, etc. with Central Oregon. The largest geographic boundary in the state of Oregon is the Cascade Mountains.
The Cascades create an obvious separation of our Western Oregon communities from the Central Oregon communities that are currently sharing the same legislative district with our communities and school district. Number two, one of the public speakers mentioned earlier that one redistricting proposal recommends separating some of Jackson County School District 9 communities, like Shady Cove, that have common interests geographically, economically, politically, and most importantly, share the same school district. Jackson County School District 9 is a large school district with several communities within its boundaries. Eagle Point and White City are the two most populated communities. However, there are the smaller communities of Shady Cove, Elk Creek, and Trail Creek that are just as important to the functioning of our school district. And if you can see on the map there, you can see how all those districts really spread up pretty far north. So we're pretty spread out. Highway 62, also known as Crater Lake Highway, is the major highway that connects all of these communities. But the connection of these communities goes beyond the physical connection of a highway. All of the children and parents of all these communities come together as one group at the high school level in Eagle Point. The common interest of these parents is the importance of a quality education for their students. Speaking with one voice on issues affecting our students and our communities is a major priority. All of these communities are connected geographically, economically, and politically. Our school district needs the criteria to keep all of the communities of Eagle Point, Elk Creek, Shady Cove, Trail, and White City together in the same legislative district. So please keep all the communities of Jackson County School District 9 together in the same legislative district.
Any questions for this panel? All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
I think now we're back to Claremont Falls. We have two or three folks left, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, please go ahead.
My name is Leslie Burkhead. That's B-U-R-K-H-E-A-D. And I'm a resident of Klamath Falls. And my main reason for coming down here is, of course, I was concerned about the possibility of gerrymandering with an idea to dilute the local voice. And everybody's expressed that concern as well. I think it's distressing that Chiloquin, as the previous speaker mentioned, you know, has people confused as to what district they're in. This should be an entire, I think Chiloquin should be part of our district. That would keep all the school districts together in one area, except for maybe a couple outlying ones. And I think Medford should be kept whole and in our district. And those were my main concerns. And I'll pass it to you.
Hi, my name is Bev Malams. I was born and raised in Klamath Falls and in Klamath County. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to come and to travel to Southern Oregon. Some of our current politicians do not realize there is a Southern Oregon, and so we're nice to see that you do realize that there's a Southern Oregon and are capable of traveling here to visit with us. I have lived here for the last 34 years in Beatty, and which is halfway between Klamath and Lake County. And we do business in Klamath, Lake, and Jackson counties. And it's very important to keep these counties together. Rogue Valley receives 30,000 acre feet of water from Klamath County, which they use to irrigate their orchards with. And so it's important to keep that connection. We also have a wonderful hospital here in Klamath Falls now, but we do not have a cardiac unit here. There's none available to us, so we currently have to travel to Medford to the cardiac unit there if we, you know, need that. In Klamath County also, we have one of the largest cattle raising operations in the state, in Klamath, Jackson, and Lake Counties. There's also many activities that are horse-related. We have cutting, roping, dressage, and those go back and forth between the three counties. There are hundreds of thousands of dollars in cattle and horses in this industry that are tied very closely to Southern Oregon. It's important that we keep our three communities together. We have those ties with family and businesses. We need to keep Klamath, Jackson, and Josephine counties together politically, and we would appreciate it if you would make the right decision and choose not to split us up for political gain. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Bo. We have questions for... Oh, yeah. Ma'am, may I just spell your name for the record, please? We didn't quite catch it the first time.
Bev Mallams, M-A-L-L-A-M-S.
Thank you. Any questions for this pair? Okay, thank you both. So we're through with Klamath Falls. Are we through in Grants Pass? Is it the roof cleared out? And nobody more has shown up in Ashland. We have four left who signed up, so I'll call you in pairs. Devon Smolens, Kevin Keating.
I'm going to talk to you
then. Roll that,
just like the gambling wheel.
Eric, did you sign what's
Prior testimony is pretty much on the money. Just like that lady said, three counties are joined at the hip. And there are a lot of cross references on businesses, the people, all the things that we do in this area. I only live at a ranch in a resource area about 25 miles east of Ashland and 35 miles west of Klamath Falls. We do get at the ranch, we run a guest ranch there, and we get from 5,000 to 6,000 people that come 40% from Klamath, about 60% from Rogue Valley. And I would split those 30% Medford and then the other 30% from Josephine County. So that cross circuit on Highway 66 is an interesting configuration through the fact that 140 is more of a primary highway to Klamath Falls and Rogue Valley than 66 is. We're members of the Jackson County Cattlemen's Association and the Small Timber Farmers Association. I have several business interests in Klamath County as well as in Jackson County. Major business background with 40 years in retail, 30 years with the Woolworth Company, and then the co-founder of, and CEO of Ross Dress for Less. So I know the ladies all know that. Right? Good.
I knew where it's
going. Good. So obviously you have a big job in front of you, and my experience in evaluating various communities for placement of hundreds of stores has helped me to fully understand the difference between urban, suburban, and rural areas. Since the census numbers indicate that House District 5 needs people added to it, and House District 55 needs people subtracted from it, almost in equal numbers, it appears that the, I'm going to insert the word there, simple solution to this would be to keep House District 6 as it is and add people to House District 5 by stretching the north-central border of House District 5 up to the area surrounding Medford to the south and east of Medford proper, but not into the city of Medford. Since House District 5 has the communities of Talent, Phoenix, and Ashland already in it, then I believe that adding the area described above would definitely achieve the communities of common interest, as the area we added is rural, ranching, orchards, and small farms, which is similar to Talent, Phoenix, and the rural Ashland. Please draw the districts so that they make sense, compact without the spurs and different things that sometimes take place in redistricting. We hope that a rule of reasonableness applies. And I think that the whole state would be proud of you if you let that apply. And that's a good rule to follow. Reasonableness. It settles arguments. It does a lot of things. Thank you for the opportunity to
do it. The code of the West, you might say.
Well, that's all right. You all to come and visit us.
Questions for Mr. Rolette. Colleagues. Thank you very much, sir.
No questions? But, Mr. Chair, I do have a question. Mr. Rolette, is your ranch a place people spend the night at?
Yes, sir.
It's a dude ranch, a working
it's
ranch?
It's not a dude ranch. We don't plan anything for you. If you want to get away from the TV or politics.
Michael, let's go that way instead of the other way. Thank you.
It is interesting that configuration in the draw is very interesting. And we do draw out of state a lot too, but the local people use us more than anybody. So it is, we are hoping to hit.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Keating was called but didn't come forward, so perhaps he left. Okay. Russ Baxter and Kim Wallen.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Russ Botzer. I'm president of Botzer Construction. Our construction company started in the 1950s in building industrial and commercial projects. So that background gives me makes me very familiar with the cultural differences across our state. I do business from the Gorge to California, from the coast to Lakeview. And you've heard a lot of points today, you know. One of the things I want just to stress is that good redistricting, you know, will get people civically involved, and just the opposite of that will cause people to be, you know, disenfranchised. And I think once that happens, you know, people become lost to our political system, and you know, I think our whole government suffers at that point. What I'd like to ask the 2011 legislature to do is, you know, use the following principles of common interest as has been discussed. I would honor the great differences between urban and rural communities. I happen to live in this urban community of Medford, and I think our concerns and focuses are different than rural communities. When districts are put largely with urban and suburban areas, you know, with vast rural areas, I think we do a great disservice to these rural areas. While I happen to know a lot about certain industries in the state, my city neighbors really don't know much about what's going on with ranchers in Paisley. And, you know, regarding Southern Oregon, you've heard it several times before, keep Medford the way it is. It works well, we have competitive elections, and, you know, our issues are very common here. You know, and lastly, you know, our statewide economy needs to be, you know, resilient and strong in all regions and industry sectors, and not just favor policies and spending for the biggest GDP geographical areas. Steady voice of rural Oregon must not have their population carved up as sacrificial filler for the more urban areas. You know, having districts of economic interest will help us create more vibrant communities and economies. And redistricting methods that simply push outward from major population centers but do not give equal attention to economic ties or common interest will push us closer to the boom and bust economic cycles that we seem to be focusing on right now. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming. It is wonderful to have an opportunity to explain to those of you who are not from here what our communities are. My name is Kim Wallen. My last name is spelled W-A-L-L-A-N. I'm a 25-year resident of the city of Medford. I'm actually a native Oregonian. I was raised in Klamath Falls, so I know this area very well. And I would just echo most of what the people from the east side also said. It does make a tremendous amount of sense to have Chiloquin in Klamath Falls. Having grown up there, I can assure you that Chiloquin thinks of itself as a portion of Klamath Falls much more than it does of the north. And the theme that you heard the others say, that keeping the the east-west flow rather than the north-south flow, meaning if you're looking for places to grab population, the less you can do that by going north from the south, for Southern Oregon, the better. The simple, so in addition to kind of growing up here, I attended Bowling University when I'm in law school, so I'm an attorney, and I've been a long time volunteer in the community, mostly with the schools, as I've raised our children. Very familiar then with the way the school districts and the sense of community that the different districts have among themselves. And so I would be happy to answer questions about that, but I would like to just say that those of us in Medford know that we have two of the biggest OSAA classification schools in our town. So if you want your child to go to a large school, you tend to live in the area where they have the two largest schools. Both schools have about 2,000 students. But then you could go to the Phoenix Town School District and have your child go, move 10 miles down the road, you could have your child go to a school of 600, move another 5 miles, your child could go to a school of about 1,000 in Ashland. So we do have these different, the different districts have their own flavor. And to the extent that you can keep the school districts in line with these representative boundaries, I think that's a good thing. Would it be easy, as has been commented, to take that area, the rural area around Phoenix Town, bring that into District 5 from 55? It might be tempting to go to the west and grab some of Jacksonville and put it in House District 5, but I would like to echo what Representative Atkinson said. The Jacksonville Rouge Applegate area is in the Medford School District. Those people think of themselves as Medford people. They come to Medford much more than they go to Central Point. They don't, if FFA is a program at Central Point, if you want your child to be in it, you can automatically get transferred there. Very few Jacksonville kids, even though they're fairly rural, end up taking that advantage of that and going to Central Point. They come to the Medford School District. They have an identity there. And I think that's my time. So.
That's the last of the names that we signed up, but I want to, we did have some people come in after the sign-up sheets were collected, including, I see, former Representative Patridge in the back. So, if there's anyone else who would like to testify who did not sign up, now would be the time to let us know. Sir?
Yeah.
Commissioner.
Good afternoon. I'm John Rescher, current County Jackson County Commissioner. And I just had a few comments I wanted to throw in here. You know, everybody has been up here talking about what you need to do for us, and so I'd like to turn around a little bit and say what we can do for you. I'm wondering if there's somewhere we can modify this population formula so that you don't have to travel so far. I mean, Mike McClain does a great job for us, but he's a long ways from home. So is there any way to put a modifier on this that if you have to travel more than 50 or 60 miles from your home, that your population target can be 10% off? You know, I'd like to recommend, you know, and that's just a figure I picked up, I just picked out of the air, but there should be some way, you know, because when you folks have to travel that far, it just makes you less efficient. I mean, you spend more time in motels. You know, you can't drive down here from Prineville and back in the day. So anyway, I'm just looking for some modifier to put on this to, you know, so that the population, I don't know how close you have to hit those population targets. Is it, you know, within 100 people, 50 people? I don't know.
Well, the answer to that question, sir, is for congressional purposes, we have to basically be absolutely equal down to the person. There's a little bit more latitude for legislative districts. It's still, the state constitution talks about apportioning by population. Right, that means we've got a pretty narrow band, so your point is well taken, but we're pretty constrained in how we can accommodate that interest.
Okay, well, and I accept that. Trying to make it easier on you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Good idea.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Commissioner Rescher, just
to let you know it's kind of a joke with Senator Perioli that he has such a large area and it's so scarcely populated that if he finds two people leaning up against a pickup, he stops because it's a town hall meeting.
Now, I would like to add Representative Freeman up in Roseburg. He has a little area called Weimer, which is in Jackson County. It's in my area, but he can't get there from here. He has to come down to Grants Pass, into Josephine County, into Jackson County, Wood River, and then clear back up, you know. And so that's tough on him, and I accept that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
The commissioner just made the point that I made earlier about with the mayor of Shady Cove. 10 years ago, that district, Jackson County, northern part of Jackson County, has always been seen as a filler. And so it was a filler for Douglas County to come over and grab White City and Tiller and Weimer. But Weimer is directly associated with Rogue River. And so what he's saying is absolutely true. There is no way for Representative Freeman to directly go to the citizens in that district without going through three other House districts to get to that one neighborhood.
All right. Senator Wissett, did you have any testimony you wanted to provide? Or?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, before we conclude, I want to read into the record a few points. We received testimony from several people since the last field hearing, and I just want to identify them by name and location. Lori Hine from Clackamas County, Lake Oswego. Peggy Longwell from Baker County. Mayor John Kinski from Washington County, Banks. Ray and Marilyn Johnson from Deschutes County, City of Bend. And Bill Cooper from Washington County, City of Beaverton. And finally, Rail, R-A-I-L, Beeson from Jackson County. So before we sign off, was there anybody else anywhere remotely? Looks like not.
It might be helpful just to let people know where our next hearings are, in case anyone wants to watch online or continue to follow the discussion.
Yes, thank you, Senator. Thank you. Our next hearing will be tomorrow morning in Coos Bay. We'll be meeting at Southwestern Oregon Community College, Eaton Hall in Coos Bay at 9 a.m.
No,
it changed. Hale Performing Arts Center. Hale Performing Arts Center on campus. And we'll be taking testimony remotely from Brookings and from Roseburg during that hearing from 9 to noon tomorrow. And following that, we'll be up in Willamette Valley. More details come. And I will end by giving you our web address one more time for those who want to submit or find information about this process. It's www.leg.state.or.us/redistricting. And let me close by saying thank you again to our hosts here at Southern Oregon and to our staff who helped us set this hearing up, and as well as tomorrow's hearing, and to our volunteers in Grants Pass, Klamath Falls, and Ashland. Thanks very much for your help. With that, I will close the hearing of the House Committee on Redistricting.
And on behalf of the Senate Committee on Redistricting, I also want to say thank you for hosting us here. It's been a great opportunity to hear from all of you, and please continue to give us your input. If you do have other ideas after today, feel free to email us or contact one of the legislators. We'll make sure that your input gets into the record. Again, thank you for the opportunity to be here and to listen to you. And with that, I will close the Senate Committee on Redistricting.